Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. Behold, a woman of the town who was an especially wicked sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of oil and perfume, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast devoted to sin. Jesus replying said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. A certain lender of money had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no means of paying, he freely forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one I take it for whom he forgave and canceled more. Jesus said to him, you have decided correctly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she from the moment I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet tenderly and caressingly. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore I tell you, her sins, as many as they are forgiven her, because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Praise the Lord. Amen? All right. Now, this morning, what I want to talk about is about the miracle of being hungry for God. How many of you have ever wanted anything in your life very badly? How many of you have ever had a desperation for something? You said, man, I just have to have that. I love that so much. I just have to have it. And that can be all the way from some food to another human being. All types of hungers. But the secret for any kind of a move of God happening in your life is that you stay hungry for God. Today, we're having a lot of people lose their hunger for God. It's a lot of people no longer spend time in prayer. A lot of people no longer read the Bible. A lot of people no longer discuss the Bible with their families at home and teach their children from the Bible. A lot of people no longer refer to the Bible when it comes to how they behave or how they act, because we as a nation have lost our hunger for God. Amen. And one thing you never want to do is lose your hungers. Your hungers equal your nearness to God. If you are hungry for something, you will feed yourself with that thing. If you are hungry for God, you will feed yourself on what enriches your life with God. If you are hungry for TV, then you will feed yourself with TV. If you're hungry for food, then you will feed yourself with food. If you're hungry for righteousness, you will feed yourself righteousness. If you're hungry for revenge, you will feed yourself with revenge. If you're hungry for something that is vile, not good, not of God, but you want it, you have an appetite for it, then you will feed yourself with that thing. Anything you feed grows, and anything you starve dies. We need to choose what things we need to be hungry for. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you realize that today that hunger makes everything taste good? How many have ever fasted? Wasn't it the most glorious meal you've ever had, that moment you broke your fast and said, oh my gosh, I'm now going to eat the entire cow. I'm going to eat the restaurant. Literally. Because you are so hungry. And when you are hungry, things taste really good. When you are hungry for God, ladies and gentlemen, prayer is not work. When you are hungry for God, going to church is not a chore. You are not counting the minutes till you get out of the church service when you're hungry for God. When I first got saved, I was raised Catholic, and so I became a Christian, but I didn't know that I had, because I didn't know the terminology. But I became a Christian. I was chasing a girl. I caught her. She gave me a Bible. I got saved. And it changed my life. But I didn't know there were churches with people like you. And so I just went to my Catholic church, and I went 3 times on Sunday, because I just had this hunger inside me. And I went and bought me a big Bible, and I just would read it all day long. I could not get enough of the Word of God. I could not get enough of the Bible. I could not get enough of the peace and the feeling of love that I had in my life for the first time ever in my life. Just to have peace and sleep without nightmares was a miracle for me. That came because of hunger. Once a church or a marriage or a human being loses their hunger, they begin to slowly deteriorate. And they begin to fall into bad ruts and bad habits. And they begin to be cannibalized by the things they are feeding. If you are feeding your cannibals, they will devour you sooner or later. If you are feeding your addiction for a drug, or your hunger for pornography, or your desire for romance, or your desire for something else that is detrimental to your walk with God, it will turn on you and it will tear you to pieces and eventually devour you. All of you know that that's true. It's not something I actually have to convince you of, because all of you that are here have lived life long enough to understand that what you feed grows. And sometimes you're feeding monsters. What we need to do is feed God in ourselves. We need to feed the love of God. We need to feed the Word of God. We need to feed spiritual goodness in our life. We need to feed the things in our life that enrich our life and draw us closer to God and position us in a place where God can truly bless us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life could improve today? Do you believe that there is such a thing as a defining moment? Do you believe that there is such a thing as a defining moment? Amen. How many of you have ever had one, a defining moment? Where something happened in your life that changed your life forever. It didn't just change your mind. It changed who you were as a person. It actually changed your DNA. That is a defining moment. It's when you become a different human being than the one you are right now. What I have learned is that defining moments like this woman had, who came to Jesus as a deep, deep, dark, addicted sinner. And she came to Jesus with the only thing she had. And she laid before Jesus weeping. And she had a defining moment. Her world changed. Her hunger led her to her miracle. Your hungers will always lead you to your miracles, or they will lead you to your destructions, depending on which hunger you are choosing to submit to. Praise the Lord. She chose Jesus. She ran to Jesus. She went to the feet of Jesus. She said, I need Jesus. I have heard about this man. I hear that he forgives people of their sins. I hear that he heals people of their diseases. I hear that he can fix problems for people. I am going to go to Jesus, because there's nothing left on this earth that I can find or that I can run to. There is no refuge. There is no hiding place. There is nowhere that I can go and find the peace that I am searching for. Maybe this man, this Nazarene, this man called Jesus, maybe he has got the answer that I need. If you're sitting out there and you've been in church a long time and you've heard a lot of sermons, you may have developed the sickness of being sterile. Sterile happens when you hear sermons and do not do them. Unobeyed truth creates sterility in your spirit. It means you are unable to get pregnant with God's word when you hear it. It simply bounces off of you because you are sterile in spirit from hearing so much truth and not obeying that truth. You have heard it and even shouted about it. You have been stirred, but you have not been transformed. And until you and I get to the place where the Word of God has free access into our heart and has the power to transform us again and to change us again, we are just going to continue to be nice, lukewarm Christians that are not really dangerous weapons in the hands of God, that are changing their city, their church, their community. We will be affected with the disease of distraction. We will be distracted by our false appetites and our false pleasures. We will be seeking things that are going to actually hurt and destroy our family, undermine the blessing of the Lord, undermine the joy of God in our marriage, actually rip apart our marriages because we are so consumed with a desire to be pleased and to be loved and to be satisfied and to be have our needs met that we are no longer aware that the secret of happiness and the source of happiness is not to have our needs met, but to meet the needs of other people. To be happy is to make someone happy. That is the secret Jesus gave us in the Bible. Praise God, whatever you do to the least of these, that you do unto me. Whatever you want others to do to you, do to them. Praise God. And so there we are sitting right now in church, and we're thinking, I wonder how long he's going to go. It's already 11:52. I wonder if this man is a long-winded preacher. I have other agendas and I have other things that I need to do. You see, that is a bad heart. Unless I'm a bad preacher, then of course you are under torture and torment. And of course I understand that. But I am not serving you right now worms in your manna. I'm not giving you spoiled food that is rotted over from overuse. I am speaking to you a revelation that perhaps you've never heard before. That your appetites will determine your destiny. That your appetites will determine the kind of marriage you're going to have. That whatever appetites you feed will eventually rule your life. And that if you are ruled with too many, multiple appetites, and you don't simplify your appetites and create a appetite for God who can satisfy all other appetites, then you will be feeding the wrong thing and making the devil stronger within yourself and actually pushing God out of your life by the things you are feeding that are not good and healthy and spiritually beneficial for you. Amen. There's no reason to fall asleep in church, ladies and gentlemen. There's no reason to not come to church when there are meetings in the building unless we have a job, we are sick, or we simply just don't want to. But if you love God, you will want to get fed. You will want to get healed. You will want to get blessed. You will want to get anointed. You will want to be set free. Praise God. Can anyone clap or act like I'm actually making sense so that I don't feel like a total fool when I'm preaching up here this morning? Praise the Lord. Hunger creates breakthroughs. Hunger creates breakthroughs. Some of you today, you need a breakthrough. The church needs breakthroughs. Your family needs a breakthrough. You may need a breakthrough in your job. Hunger will give you a breakthrough. Hunger takes you to the place like it did this woman, where she was absolutely dominated by sin in her life. And one day she said, I have had enough. Remember these words. You never change what you're willing to tolerate. And anything that you tolerate, you will cultivate. And understand that you become the servant of the thing you practice. And so God is telling us today, let's create a move of God. Who would like to have a revival? Who would like to have a move of God? You cannot have a move of God if nobody's hungry for it. You can't have a revival if nobody wants one. You can't change a marriage if the husband is satisfied with a marriage the way it is and the wife has accepted and tolerated it and just says, well, this is it. We're just going to live like this and die like this. And no one has any desperation or any hunger for things to change. Your life can be changed by one choice. Defining moments occur when you listen with your heart and not with your head. Amen. Nothing changes when you listen with your head. You simply sit there, perhaps without even a Bible, and are actually just going through a cultural commitment to church. But our lifestyles are lacking in the passion that makes our lives beautiful in God. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you married women would like a hungry husband for your marriage? I'm just asking. How many of you married women would like a man that actually has a hunger for your marriage to get better? Do you think there would be any problems if the husband was hungry for your marriage to get better and you are hungry for it as well? Do you think that whatever problems you have wouldn't instantly disappear and dissolve, and whatever things are entrenched in your life, in a very short period of time, they would be destroyed because you and your husband, you and your wife would do whatever it takes to get to Jesus and get your marriage to Jesus and get it fixed and get it restored and get it repaired. And anything you need would happen simply because you have a hunger for God and for the things of God. This church would have no problems of any kind if everybody in the church was hungry to fulfill the vision and the calling that Pastor Steve has laid before you. If everybody in the church said, "My God, I want that vision that Pastor Steve has been talking about. I want that vision to happen in this town, in this church, and in my life." If you were hungry for it, then you would do whatever it takes. There would be no expense. There would be no a requirement. There would be no inconvenience that you would not be willing to put up with in order to see that happen. If your child was drowning in quicksand, you as a parent would jump into the quicksand and die if you had to rescue that child, because you have an aching passion and desire for your children not to die. If your grandchild was suffering, you would do whatever it takes for that child to not suffer, because you have a connection in hunger and desire and passion for that child to be rescued. And so it is in every area of life. You're only going to get worse if you don't get hungry. Hunger gives you your breakthroughs. Praise God. Matthew 9:20, the woman with the issue of blood. It says she spent all her money on doctors. She had one shot at Jesus passing by. And if you read it in its context and you research it, it literally means the woman with the last bit of strength she had ran, and as she fell, she just barely touched the hem of his garment, and she was made perfectly whole. Your hunger creates your miracles. Praise God. How many of you need a miracle? How many of you need a miracle in some area of your life? Praise God. Are you hungry for the miracle? Are you? Do you have an appetite for the miracle? Or are you just sitting back, saying, "Why not, God? Why can't I get a miracle? Why don't you bless me? Why don't you do anything for me? How come you bless them and not me?" Because that's not hunger. That's just bitterness. Hungry people take action. Praise God. Any hungry person you meet in the Bible, they always take action towards God. Praise the Lord. Casual preaching produces casual followers. Hungry preaching produces hungry followers. Praise God. Are you hungry for God? Have you been feeding the Holy Spirit inside you? Have you been feeding that new man inside of you that was born again and created when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? Have you been feeding the righteousness of God in you? Have you been feeding the love of God in you? Have you been feeding the forgiveness of God in you? Have you been feeding the generosity of God in you? Have you been feeding obedience in your life? Have you been feeding those things that make you rich in God? Everyone, every day, in every way, feeds something. We have an appetite for something. You will feed that appetite all day today. And remember, you are the slave of your appetites. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you have already been slaves to the wrong things? How many have already been slaves to the wrong things? Say, my gosh. How many of you, for example, were alcoholics? How many of you were alcoholics and Jesus Christ has set you free? Praise the Lord, and you're no longer an alcoholic. You've been delivered. Stand up if you were an alcoholic at one time and you had that problem. Just stand up, because we want to give God glory that He has set you free. Praise the Lord. That man is free. That woman is free. This man is free. That lady is free. That lady is free. This lady. Alcoholics delivered. And I'll tell you, there's 10 or 12 more sitting in here that just won't stand up. I don't know why you won't do it. That's your business. How many of you have been set free from drugs? Praise the Lord. Amen. Been set free from drugs. That's God right there. That's God right there, setting people free. How many of you had a hatred for somebody and Jesus Christ set you free? You hated somebody at some point. Praise the Lord. Stand up. That's a huge thing. You don't have to, man. That's a terrible thing. But hatred out of the heart is a miracle. That's God's will. To not be bitter and hate people is a tremendous deliverance from God. But you have to be hungry and you have to say, Lord, I will do whatever I've got to do to get rid of this thing. Something big needs to happen at City View Church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Steve can preach himself blind. And if people respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, then the miracles of God begin to take place. Amen. Just because you haven't seen them before and heard about them doesn't mean they don't exist. Beware of letting your experience become your Bible. Beware of letting your experience become your Bible and your Holy Spirit. Let the Bible change your experience. Don't let your experience change your Bible. Praise God. We are not ruled by our senses, ladies and gentlemen. We learn to be ruled by the Word of God, and then our senses come under submission to the Word of God, and then the Word of God has preeminence in our will, our mind, our soul, our thoughts, our actions, our emotions, and our choices. Praise God. And then God gets all the glory, and He is glorified for being amazing. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, I need to get hungry for God again. Praise the Lord. Look at two people and say, amen.
Amen.
Lukewarmness is an enemy to your hunger. False contentment is an enemy to your hunger. Casual living is an enemy to your hunger. Distraction, pleasure seeking, and all false appetites are enemies of the hunger of God in your life. If you've lost your appetite for the Word of God, then you are no longer hungry. If you're indifferent about things of God when you hear about them, the loss of passion, discontent in church, moral compromise comes in, delayed obedience, loss of giving, unmovableness, and a lack of convictions. These are the signs of a person who is no longer hungry for God. Indifference is the breeding ground of evil. Satan's goal in life for every Christian is to get us to the place where we are indifferent about what is happening in our lives, in the lives of the people of the world, and in church. He wants us to not care. Not caring is Satan's calling card. It is his personality. Imagine a world filled with people who do not care about one another. Imagine a world where everybody does whatever comes into their imagination. Every evil thought is perpetuated on another human being, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it is today, ladies and gentlemen, because we have lost our passion and lost our hunger. We need to come back to the simple place of being hungry for God. We need to come to the place where we once again become tender-hearted, caring, compassionate people who actually care about our neighbors. My wife and I were preaching in Europe 2 weeks ago, and my wife did a women's conference. Now that my youngest daughter's fully grown, my wife is traveling with me again. So thank you, Jesus. I'm really excited. She would have come here this time, but she's in Guatemala for 3 weeks. And so, but she's doing women's conferences now with us, with me, you know, wherever we go on Saturdays and all that. We had a big one there in Europe. Anyway, she did this powerful teaching, and she had two tea bags and a little scripture, and she said, after the teaching to the women, you're the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, and all that, she said, this is your witness track right here. This is your witness track. It is two bags of tea with a scripture. All you need to do is go to your neighbor and invite them to tea, because they're crazy tea people in Europe. It's tea, 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 tea. This was on a Thursday. On that Sunday, I get a call from the pastor crying. He said, Ivan, we had over 125 visitors. We've never had more than 12 visitors in the history of the church. We had 125 visitors at church. The women had gone out and just asked their neighbors for tea. And my wife said, don't get them saved. Just invite them to church. Let the preacher get them born again. Just because they invited the neighbor to tea. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have no idea the power you have to change the world. My gosh, all you need is a cup of coffee or tea. Not Bud Light. Cup of coffee, tea. Would you give somebody a high five and say, Dear Jesus. In the book of Exodus, Phinehas, the son of one of the high priests, saw a man of Israel take in a woman of a Hittite clan, and took her into his tent, and they were sinning in the tent, and he went in there with a spear and thrust it between both of them. And the plague that was coming on the Israelites was stopped. Your hunger will stop every sinful plague in your life. Just the hunger to please God will stop you from killing people. Huh? Think about that for a second. Because if you're like me, you've wanted to murder people. You have had the urges, the impulses, and the thoughts to commit murder. I've had them many times as a Christian. And what has prevented me from going to jail up till now? And this is January the 8th, or February of this coming year will be my 40th year of ministry. 40 years. And I'm telling you that in that amount of time, I've wanted to kill a lot of people. And the only thing that's prevented me from doing it is that I want to please God more than I want to please my flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we all don't kill for different reasons. My reason is because I honestly do want to do it. Honestly. But I want to please God more. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm not going to lie and tell you I don't want to do it. Yes, I do want to do it. There are lots of things I want to do that are bad. But because of Jesus, I say, Lord, the cost of doing this is so great to me and everybody I love. But I do want to do it. I just need you to take away the desire to do it. And in time, he even takes away that. But when you have it, you're like some of you are sitting there, and you may even have pot in your pocket right now. And you say, man, I got a reefer. I can't wait to smoke that after this guy shuts up. I can't wait to have that reefer. It's going to be awesome. But in reality, when you take that reefer this afternoon in your hands and you have it there, just ask, I mean, how do you really want that reefer? And your flesh will say, yes, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. You repent later. Apologize later. You know, it'll give you all the psychological seductive thoughts. But in essence, one day you're going to have to face, what are you hungry for? More of God or more things that are going to only hurt you? Praise the Lord. When you have that clicker on and your computer on and sin is before you, you're going to have to decide, do I really want to have a house of prostitutes in my head? Or do I want to have a pure mind that I can bless people with? Do I really want to have something that ugly running around in my mind all day long? Or do I want to have a mind that has been renewed by the Word of God and I can love people purely from a sincere heart and please my Father in heaven? Praise God. Amen. What would be wrong if God doubled the church? Am I by myself? What would be wrong if God doubled the church? What would be the terrible sin of you having more people than you have room to put in the building? What would be so terrible if you had to open those doors, fill up that whole thing? And then Pastor Steve would have to stand up here and say, I didn't believe it myself. But we're going to have to break out this wall. Because we don't have enough room. And we've got to double the size. And what would be so wrong if it was paid for in cash? What would be so wrong if Pastor Steve never had to mention the word money as far as needing it? He would just say, look, God has blessed us, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to bless this person. We're going to bless this. We're going to build this. We're going to create that. We're going to make this happen. What would be the sin of being blessed, ladies and gentlemen? What is so bad with not having problems? I just want to know, when does the hell stop in your life? It stops when you get hungry for heaven. As soon as a man decides, you know what? I am not going to have a house full of strife and contention. My wife is angry at me all the time. Why? Because you won't put the toilet paper back on that little spool. You won't ever clean the house. You're addicted to TV. You are lazy until you go to work. And it breaks her heart. But when you decide, you know what? I'm going to do this not just because my wife needs it. I'm going to do it because God wants me to be this kind of man. And I am hungry to be a man of God. What would be so bad if you as a wife prayed for your husband instead of whipped him with your words? What would be the sin of you not terrorizing him with the truth? Over and over and over and over and over and over again. What would be the sin of you being such a godly woman that you don't allow hurtful, painful, enraging words to come out of your mouth and you just took it to God in prayer, trusted God to literally drive the devil out of your husband? Because he will do it a lot quicker than you can. Praise the Lord. All God has to do, ladies, is answer you once. Just one time. Oh, Father in heaven, I give you my husband. Take him into your hands and do with him whatever you desire. Let your husband hear those words while he's walking around the house. Let him hear you in there on your knees. Oh, Father, thank you for my husband that is a mighty man of God. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy. Woo! And then he's in there. Or your wife and children heard you as a man, heard you in there every day praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying out loud and saying, Dad's in there praying again. Can you hear him? I heard him praying for me. He's praying for me. What would be the sin that your children would go to bed with their dad and mom kneeling at their bed, laying hands on them and praying over them every day of their life in English and in the Holy Ghost? And they you fill the room with the presence of God with your worship. And what would be the sin of being raised by loving parents and having a godly life and being a godly man and a godly woman? What is so bad with being blessed? What is so bad with a preacher telling you, where is your Bible? Why don't you have a Bible? Where is your Bible? What is the sin of a preacher saying that? You know what it says in the book of Timothy? In the last days, men will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will get offended at the truth. And they will get offended at the preacher that tells them the truth. And Paul said it this way. Do you now hate me for telling you the truth? Because when you're not hungry, you perceive all truth as a thief that has come to steal your candy. And you get mad at the one that's bringing that truth. So men must find churches where their candy is approved. And then we forsake God for our candy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what's going to happen this week? Are you going to be a one-timer? Say, well, one time's all I can take that preacher. Okay, well, all right, if I didn't make sense, okay, you know, if I wasn't anointed, okay, you know, whatever. But I guess the question would be, have I said anything? Has the Holy Spirit spoken through my mouth to the point where a defining moment can actually occur if you obey the things that I have said that came from the Holy Ghost? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not a preacher of suggestions. Pastor Steve is not a suggestion preacher. We are preaching the absolute truth of the Word of God. That is what we're responsible for. We are to lay in your lap the revelation you need to get delivered and get the answers you need to become the men and women that God wants you to be, to have the marriage that God wants you to be, and to have the children that God wants you to have, and to have the success in your business that God has created you to have. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you know the purpose, you can walk through the process. And eventually you'll reach your destination. Praise God. It's 12:17. So, I'm going to stop. As I do, let me just make these last statements to you. It's very important. A blind man in Matthew 20:30. Started screaming. He lifted up his voice as Jesus passed by. He wasn't indifferent. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't content. He had not been seduced yet by the pleasures of life, the routines of living our lives. He was on the side of the road blind. And he began to scream, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise God. You know the result. The disciples kept telling him, be quiet, shut up, you're disturbing the peace. He's got thousands of people around him. Jesus, through the thousands of voices, heard the voice of the hungry person. It is the hungry heart that God listens to, not the religious heart, not the self-righteous heart, not the I know everything, don't need to be told anything heart, not the I can't be bothered and please shut up, I got to go watch a football game. That's really my religion. Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you enjoy the most, that is your religion. And if you hate church, you hate God. And if you hate the Bible, you hate God. Your religion is whatever you enjoy doing the most. There is a place in God that is so beautiful that no other place can compare with that place. You are not guaranteed to find that place just because you are a Christian. No more than when you buy a computer are you guaranteed to have access to all that information just because you bought the computer. You must learn the programs to retrieve the knowledge. Christianity is the same way. You need to fall in love with the Bible again. You need to get a translation of the Bible that speaks to your mind, not something you need a dictionary for. It should make sense to you when you hear it because it's written in the language your mind speaks. Truth always flows out of the Word of God when you ask the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate it for you. Amen. Praise God. We have a lot of powerful things that are going to happen in the next three services. In just a moment, a lot of powerful things will happen. Tonight, I'm going to preach to you Let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you believe that God can change the momentum of what's going on in your life? How many of you believe God has the power to change the momentum? Because tonight I'm going to talk to you about how you can walk in God's favor. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the favor of God is how God takes revenge on our enemies. Some of you are not happy because you're not blessed. You do not have the favor of God. And you need to get God's favor back into your life. We're going to do that tonight. Then on Monday night, I'm going to preach to you this message, ladies and gentlemen. I have not preached this message before. This one that I preached this morning, I haven't preached before. What I'm preaching tonight, I haven't preached before the way I'm ministering it. And then Monday, I'm going to talk to you about how to find peace. Some of you are losing your minds and you need the peace of God. Hallelujah. Unhappiness is the fruit of a lack of peace. Depression, loneliness, anger, all those are signs of a man or a woman who does not have the peace of God. And God wants you to have peace. And then we're going to top it off on Tuesday. It's going to be powerful. Praise the Lord.